At this time, WNCW presents More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. This week, news from Charlotte. Members of City Council propose language access plan. To report on this is a member of WFAE Charlotte Public Radio. It's reporter and newscaster Nick Delacanal. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
Nick, I understand that the city's immigrant committee proposed this plan. What's the committee's history, and why is now the time for a language access plan?
Sure. So this committee was formed, it was about a month ago, by our mayor, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, and it was actually formed in response to some widespread ICE raids that took place in February around the state, and these raids picked up some 200 people that ICE suspects in the country are unauthorized. That led to some backlash from people in Charlotte. They showed up to city council meetings demanding the city to do something, to do more to help support the immigrant community. And so in response, the mayor formed this immigrant committee. It's formed of four council members, and they went out across the city over the last couple of weeks and held, it was eight community meetings where they just kind of heard from the immigrant community, heard what their concerns were, and tried to suss out where the city could do something to kind of help out the immigrant community.
I know from having a look at your story, you mentioned something that some of us might think is a simple thing, breaking it down to city signage, a sign that's at an entrance at the Charlotte Government Center.
Yeah, right. This was actually something that was brought up at one of those meetings. It was brought up that the entrance to our government center in Charlotte, if you're walking into the government center, on the side there is a sign that says in English, notice, and then it has a warning basically that guns and other weapons aren't allowed inside the building. And then below that, it's the same message translated into Spanish, but instead of using the correct translation for the word notice in Spanish, which would be aviso, it says noticia. And that actually means news, like a newspaper. Yeah, that bad translation was actually brought up at one of these community meetings. It was brought up by a local activist who essentially said when she sees that, she just kind of feels like the city doesn't care and she feels patronized. It seems like just a very simple thing, but when the city doesn't even get those simple things right, it can really have sort of a chilling effect on immigrants who maybe feel like they don't have as better access to the city or to city services. And of course, the problem goes beyond that, too. A lot of city forms and city services are only accessible if you speak English. If you want to go to a city council meeting, try to figure out what's going on or just want to know, what services are available to you, oftentimes that is only kind of presented in English, and the city doesn't have very many multilingual staffers. That was brought up. And so, in response, the immigrant committee has proposed this language access plan, and this is going to be the first of a couple proposals that they're thinking about. Yeah, this language access plan is designed to kind of counteract that or change that. So they're going to try and translate city documents into a couple of different languages, not just Spanish, but they're also looking at Hindi and French, Russian. There's eight languages in total. So they want to translate city documents into these languages. They also want to identify and retain multilingual city staffers. And they're also really trying to encourage city staffers to use over-the-phone or in-person translation and interpretation services, which are available right now, but not everyone in the city knows that they're available.
It's WNCW's More to the Story. Our guest from WFAE is newscaster-reporter Nick Delacanal. Nick, was it municipal IDs that immigrants could use also brought up as, say, a way to help if they are dealing with the police?
Yeah, that was brought up actually by a couple of people. And what's interesting is actually this is not the first time that that idea has been brought up in Charlotte. A couple of years ago, the city actually formed another immigrant committee. This was back in 2016, I believe. That committee was similarly tasked with looking at ways to help the immigrant community. And one of the big ideas to come out of that was this idea of municipal IDs. So these are, IDs that are created by the city, and the only purpose that they really have is somebody who has one of these IDs can use it to identify themselves to, say, the police, or they can use it to get a library card, or if a bank is willing to accept it, maybe to open up a bank account. And it doesn't mean that you're a citizen or anything like that. It just basically identifies who you are. It has a picture of you and your address. And this ID actually got a lot of traction in Greensboro. There's a activist group over there, or an advocate group called Faith Action NC. They had been distributing these IDs. And so that idea got a lot of traction a couple of years ago in Charlotte, and it looked like it was going to happen. But then the General Assembly came out with a law. They passed a law that basically banned these municipal IDs. That's because there was a lot of concern that that would be used by undocumented immigrants. And so that idea was brought up again this round with this immigrant community, but the city can't implement these IDs right now because of the state law. And so even though it does seem like people on the immigrant committee like that idea, and it seems like a lot of people support that in the city, they basically said that they're not going to try and defy the General Assembly or go against that. And so that idea, while it has been placed on the table, it doesn't look like that is really possible or that it's going to go anywhere.
And as always, Nick, as we move forward with this, whatever this proposal might include, what it might build into, so to speak, how would and how does so far funding look for actually making a language access plan happen?
Well, that's a really good question. And the answer is we don't really know right now. The language access plan was passed by city council, and what the committee member who, you know, kind of is heading this committee, his name is Larkin Engelson, what he's basically said is this plan, it's not very concrete right now. It's basically setting out a number of goals that the city is going to work toward. But in order to actually implement this, it is going to take some funds. It's going to take some financial resources that haven't really been allocated yet. So the city is looking at what they have, what kinds of funds they have to be able to throw at this initiative. And hopefully we'll find that out once the city figures out what their budget's going to be for the next fiscal year. And that's going to start on July 1st. So until then, we're not really sure, but we do know that the city is making this a priority and that they are planning to use some funds to hopefully make it a reality.
We thank you very much for discussing this with us today. And Nick, I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners that if they want to follow you, read more of your stories that are a part the broadcasting and news coverage of WFAE and your colleagues with a number of unique podcasts that are not only about things in and around Charlotte, but across the state. How could they do so?
I'm accessible on Twitter. You can follow me at Nick Della Canale. You can find my work also on the WFAE website. That's WFAE.org.
With WFAE in Charlotte, Nick Della Canale. Thank you, sir, for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
More to the Story is also available as a podcast on our website at wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.